Father, we thank you. Lord Jesus, we thank you. Holy Spirit, we thank you. Lord, I pray you bless this gathering. You come and teach us and speak through us as you talk about the kingdom of God. That's why we're here today, Lord. Come and show us your way and your wisdom and teach us, for you are the teacher. In Jesus' name, amen. What is the practical side of Christianity? If you say Christianity is practical, what does it mean? How do you practice our faith? Is Christianity just a religion? What's the difference between a religious person and a practicing Christian? How do you know one is a believer? Belief is me, it's my conscience, it's my conviction, right? But my belief is dormant. Nobody knows I'm a Christian, but I'm a Christian. It's my heart that believes in Jesus Christ, but it's not written in my forehead here that I'm a Christian. How can people place me as a Christian? God gives you His Spirit to make you like His Son Jesus. The gift of the Holy Ghost is to make me a Christian. When the Holy Spirit comes upon me, He's here to help me to behave like Jesus behaved. He helped me to think right, to speak right, and to act right, and to do what is right in the sight of God. And the purpose of the Holy Ghost is to help me to overcome sin, temptation, and live a righteous life. That's the purpose of having Holy Spirit in our lives. One can be a Christian, but not a practicing Christian. One can say, I'm a believer. But if you are silent, how can people know you are a believer? How do we know that someone is a practicing Christian? Everybody say, I'm a Christian. What do you mean practicing Christian? Practical side of Christianity I'm talking about. How do you practice your faith? Christianity is all about relationship. Jesus came to restore the relationship and fellowship between God and man. Now, relationship with God, where is God? In heaven. And you are here. How do you relate with God every day? Do you see God? Do you touch Him? How do you relate with somebody you cannot see, you cannot touch? Prayer! This is the number one fundamental article of the Christian faith. We know how to pray. Everybody pray. We exercise our faith mainly through prayer. You woke up, you pray. You have trouble, you pray. We pray to who? To God. Why do you pray? What does James said about prayer? What pushed you to pray? I pray because God can help me. Because I have a weakness, I discover my weakness, I come to God to pray for help. I pray because I have a need. I discover I need strength to do what is right because I'm weak. I'm weak in the front of temptation. I'm weak because what I want to achieve, I don't have capacity to do it. And I believe God has the ability to make it happen. That's why I pray. Prophet Elisha said that prayer is not right if it does not spring from faith. Now, can I just come to God? Oh Lord, I have this need. Can you help me? Why am I turning to God? He has the answer. He has the provision. You can see, you cannot separate prayer from faith. You cannot. The reality of prayer is faith. What's the purpose of faith? I pray because I have a need, right? What is the position of faith in that prayer? What is the elementary definition of faith? If I remove faith, will God answer me? When God answers a prayer, what motivates God to answer? It's His will. God can only be moved by His will. So I want to pray. The reality of my prayer, I must have faith. God will answer me according to His will. I don't expect God to say yes to something contrary to His will. For faith to become real, there must be a promise. Because faith is expecting God to do what He promised to do. Faith without a promise is not real. You must have a promise. Because there is a promise in the Bible. Can God heal me? Can I pray for healing for myself? There must be a promise in the Bible that expresses the will of God. The Bible says clearly, healing, deliverance, salvation, and all of God's blessings are promised in the Bible. If I want my prayer to be effective, it must be in line with what God has promised. Now, how can I ask for something that I'm not aware of? That is the importance of reading our Bible. When Apostle Paul in the book of Acts chapter 19, from verse 1.
And it happened while Apollos was in Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus. And finding some disciples, verse 2, he said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?"
Paul came, and being a spiritual man, he noticed that something was lacking. He said to them, Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Take note. I mean, faith is not real without a promise. Did you believe in the Holy Spirit? What did they say?
So they say to him, we have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit.
How can you ask for something you ignore? They never heard about Holy Spirit. This is the reason why we preach salvation. This is the reason why you preach God's promises. You enlighten people you meet about the promises in the Bible. That's how many people flocked around Jesus, because they heard the healing. They have need. If they have never heard about Jesus, how will they come to Jesus? You can see the importance of testimonies, the importance of preaching the gospel to show the reality of faith, the reality of the promise of God. So faith is not real without the promise. This means if I want to ask something to God in a prayer, it must be sanctioned by the Bible. That God never asked me to pray for anything that is not in the Bible. I must know a promise. I must believe the promise and stand in faith to say, God, I believe, give me this. That's what salvation is all about. I don't have capacity to live without sin. I run to God. I say, Jesus, the Bible says you are the Savior. That all the trouble I'm having is because of my sin. That's what the Bible says. Please, Lord, help me. John the Baptist, when he started his ministry, began to say, repent. The kingdom of God is at hand. That's the promise. Repent. The promise which had been made to our forefathers since Abraham is at hand. Everybody begin to repent, to confess their sins, to be baptized by John, to get ready for the promise of the kingdom of God. But what happens? Some people who understood what the kingdom means was waiting for the Messiah for salvation. But some people, like the Pharisees, the teachers of the law, which was the authorities leading the people, they were waiting for a Messiah for selfish, classic, and material reasons. What are the others? Illumined by the Spirit, waiting for the promise of heaven, which is salvation, Jesus is Messiah. I must know a promise. I must understand the meaning of the promise. You ask yourself, is this promise for me? If it is not for me, how will I ask for it? There are many things we never pray for. There are many promises in the Bible we never ask God. And James says, you do not have because you do not ask. James chapter 4. Mean prayer is an expression of a need before God. So it is normal to pray for your need, but you must ask in the rightful way. You must ask according to the will of God. So there is truth in the Bible. The Holy Spirit guides us into an understanding of the truth. The Holy Spirit guides us into the understanding of the promises of the Bible. There is healing in the Bible. It's promised. By His stripes we are healed. Jesus said, go and pray for the sick. Heal the sick. Deliver the captive. There is promises in the Bible for healing, for deliverance, for every single need of our lives. But the question is, how can the promise become real for me? I want to be healed of a headache. So my need is a headache. When God hears, He will not answer me to the letter according to my request, but He will give me what answer my real need. So when I express my prayer, how will I know the will of God and the timing of God for me? And that's the hardest thing. Do you know the time God set to answer that need? So there are two parameters. I must know the will of God, the timing of God. When you ask something to God, will God tell you, I will give you in 2 days or 3 days? That's the question. If I pray to God today for certain need, how do I know that God has answered me yes? The answer is peace of heart. Faith brings restfulness because of the knowledge that God is with me. So when the peace invaded my spirit, my heart, I know God has answered me. But how will I know the reality of God's response? The situation is still around, but I receive peace that God has answered me. When God will do it? How God will do it? That is not my problem. That brings doubt. Abraham had a need, who was barren. He said, God, you have blessed me, but I don't have any offspring. Eliezer the Damas, my servant, we're going to inherit everything I have. God said, no, you will have your own child. He will be your heir. Lord, how will I know I will possess all this? He asked God. He said, look at the stars. Such will be your descendants. Genesis 15, verse 6 says, Abraham believed, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. He believed, and that is the answer. The moment you have peace of heart, begin to rejoice and jump, God has said yes. The moment God hears you and answers you in your heart, the rest rejoice. Leave it for God. When it will happen, it's not your business. God has spoken. How? It's not your business. God has a way of doing it. But all I want is to hear from him. You go say, hey, you're going to be this. Hey, you are this. Hey, you are this. I have it now. For believing is possessing. The moment you believe the message, the promise for you, and you believe it is true for you, that's conviction. That is faith. You begin to rejoice. Prophet, you just say, we often hear that prayer changes situation. It's not entirely true. Prayer changes me first, and faith changes the situation. What does this mean? Paul came in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 because he had a thorn in his flesh. Pain, terrible pain. Lord, I have pain. Can you remove it? Remove it. Jesus did not answer. He continued to pray. The Lord did not answer. He continued, the Lord said, my grace is sufficient for you, Paul, for my strength is made perfect in your weakness. That moment he heard from Jesus, he knew that God is away. And number two, God allowed that to happen for a purpose, to manifest his strength in Paul's weakness. And Paul said, this thorn was given me to humble me. God will not give you what you ask in the letter, but an equivalent is granted. Mean, if it is not the will of God now to remove that pain, God will give you a strength to endure it. He always answers according to his will in our lives. You ask for biscuit, God say, I will not give biscuit. Biscuit is bad for your health. I will give you carrot. That's good for you. Oh Lord, God, I want to go to US, America. Yes, I'm going to America. And you say, God, give me favor for a visa. We start praying for a visa. But the question, is it the will of God for you to go to America? Or is it the right time for you to go to America? That's God for you. God may say yes, but not this time. Next year. So once you receive answer in your heart, you have it. The moment I met Prophet Joshua and he spoke to me in his office, I say, yes, this man is a true prophet. This man is a true prophet because what I experienced 4 years before, I know him. This man is confirming to me. And he never knew me. He never saw me. He never knew the dream, the vision I had about him. I never told him. And he told me exactly what happened in his office. Conviction came and I had peace. He told me, before this happened to you, you have to come and serve me. My God. Immediately, I say, yes. You can say yes to God immediately. It's a price to pay. I'm going to leave France. I'm going to leave my job. I'll leave this and come to Nigeria, you begin to realize. So I came to the airport, I do my checking, I pass immigration, and I was thinking. Instead of going to this side, I went to the wrong side. I continue to think, and went to the wrong side of the airport. I sit down to think. Then I said, when the plane's supposed to, where's the plane? They say, you're calling for them everywhere. The plane has left. The plane has left. And I was there waiting. Because my mind was overwhelmed. I asked this for God. But do I have the belief? If my belief was strong at that moment, I would have rejoiced and jumped. But I began to look at the consequences. Why do I say yes? What I'm saying is you can have a promise of God. But how do I know that you have faith to believe the promise? I can ask for something. How will it know that I really believe, I really know when I have peace and I stop worrying about the situation. If my need is sanctioned by the scripture, if I know it is the will of God and I pray and I have peace of heart, I begin to rejoice that God has answered my prayer. When I came back finally to meet the prophet, I never said to myself, I'm here for 1 month or 2 months or 3 months. Never, no condition. I said, I'm here for the fulfillment of my destiny. That is all. I don't give God any condition. This is just faith, what faith is all about. He never told me when. I never asked him, how long will it last? Because I have jobs and I go back to France. How long this? Never. I wait in 2011. I had a permanent resident permit, which I have to renew every 10 years. In 2011, I know that my resident permit is going to be renewed. about to say, why can't you tell the prophet? If I tell the prophet, if you say, go renew it, I know who will tell me. But if I have to go to renew it, I have to stay in France at least for 6 months, 3 months before and 3 months after. I went to the altar. I said, Jesus, you are the one that gave me this document because you are the reason why I'm here. I will not say anything. Battle was going. As the time expiration was approaching, battle was going. Some people told me, but if the promise is fulfilled and God said, go to France, how will you go? Where will you go? Battle. I said, no, I will not say anything. And I waited till the permit expired. I never say anything. Till the next year. One day the prophet called me and said, I'd love to send you to France to do it for me. And I tell him my documents. No, I have no document. But you have documents. I said, document expired. Why did you tell me? I said, I'm not here for that. If I've told you, you ask me. He looked at me. He pressed the button. Called somebody. Okay, can we go apply for visa? I'm not there for temporary, for life. If I was for temporary, I would not leave my job. That because God has worked in my heart to create such insatisfaction of the life of living there, that I don't want that life anymore. I was sick and tired of that life. God began to create a kind of dissatisfaction in my heart that I began to look at the life as nothing. Me that left Africa to go to France, that's a dream of everybody. Now I didn't want to stay anymore. A deep dissatisfaction was in my heart. And I said, God, I'm going to pray. That's the prayer I'm talking about. I said, I did something crazy. I was forcing God. I said, God, today is Sunday. I will not take water. I will not eat for 1 week till you answer me. I was going to my job. I started on Sunday. No water. No food in my body from Sunday to Sunday. I reached a level where my body, I have no water, that this tendon, the tendon began to retract because lack of water in my body. When it was Sunday, 8 days without eating, without drinking. The next day, answer came in a way I never suspect. Faith is a gift from God. You may say you don't have faith, but the day you face a terrible situation, desperate situation triggers desperate faith. Desperate situation will trigger a desperate faith. That faith is a gift from God. Something will come upon you, and you that were fearful, you become bold. That's what happened to David, the woman of the issue of blood. You know, in the Hebrew, when you have blood flow, you cannot mix with people. You are impure. They can stone you to death if you do that. But she didn't mind this. When he heard about Jesus, the conviction was so strong, she elbowed her way through the crowd and touched the hem of Jesus. And she was here. That fasting was desperate faith that triggers that. And God answered me. That faith is a gift from God. You may say, no, I don't have faith. You can't say that because it's a gift from God. You know you have faith when you face a situation. Like a rat, the most fearful of all the animals, he will run away. If a rat enter here, you close the door, you corner him, he will attack you to save his life. That's desperate faith. At a time of need, the Holy Ghost will give you a conviction, a strong faith that you yourself can even resist. That's God for you. That's the faith that led me there. So now, we can see prayer, faith, promise of God. I mean, prayer must be by faith in line with the will of God, with the promise of God in the Holy Bible. That's why anytime you read the Bible and you see a passage that is personal, if you don't pray, you have missed the mark. Anytime you read the Bible, a portion is specific to you. You believe it is true for you. Drop the Bible and pray. And ask God to give you that. Otherwise, they give you food, you bypass it. That's how we pray without ceasing. Because the Word of God helps you to know what to pray for. Anytime I read a passage, and my conscience bears witness that God is speaking to me, I drop it and begin to pray. I go on my knee, begin to pray. Give the thanks to God to give me this. That's how I pray every day. Every prayer must be sanctioned by the scripture. That's why when you read the Bible, Holy Ghost will open your eyes to a specific promise in the Bible. And now, by faith, you appropriate that promise to your life. And you come to God, you say, Lord, this is what you have done for David. Lord, I believe. Therefore, I pray. So my prayer starts with my physical need, right? But when I come before God, I must know God's opinion, God's mind on the matter. How will I know that? By my Bible reading, I will discover something in the Bible that will cause me to forget what I was asking for. Means, when revelation of God's will come in your matter you're asking for, you forget about yourself and accept the will of God. I mean, prayer will change your request. Prayer will change your focus. What you're asking for, you forget about it. You ask for something different, which is in line with the will of God. That's why before you pray, you have to meditate in the Bible before you ask. Because you don't want to ask wrongly. When I read my Bible, God is so faithful, I will find something in relation to what I have. And God can reveal to me what is my real need beyond this. And then that revelation that comes to your heart, you will forget about what you're asking for. And now you ask for the real thing God has put in your heart. It changes your mind, it changes your focus, and faith starts. Now you are asking according to the will of God. You are asking in line with His word. When you ask, peace will come. We are afraid of uncertainty. You begin to imagine the consequences. You begin to project your fear, to project defeat. Whereas what you are afraid of will never happen to you. Your mind will be renewed when you know the will of God on the matter. Your mind will be renewed when you know it's the will of God to give you. When I know God's will, it's enough for me. Stop asking God, when will you give me? That's not faith. How will it happen? That's not faith. Who are you going to use? That's not you. That's the mystery of God. What God wants you to believe, to trust and say, Lord, thank you for answering me. That's why Prophet Jesus said, and we know that God hears your prayer. It is as good as an answer. When you know God has spoken, you have the petition. All prayers must be prayer of faith. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13.
And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed, and therefore I spoke. We also believe, and therefore speak.
The apostles of old, they asked God, God, manifest your strength in our life. All of a sudden, the power of the Holy Ghost came. So, we share the same spirit of faith of Peter, John, because their faith was in Christ. The same Holy Ghost, the same God they pray. So, with the same spirit of faith as the apostles of old, I believe the promise of the Bible, therefore I ask God to give me. That's the meaning of that. I believe, therefore I speak. Mean you don't ask what you don't believe. Belief must happen first in your heart before you ask. I must believe that the promise is true for me. So if it is true for me, we call it conviction that it is true for me. Since it is true for me, I can ask for it. But if I knew it is true for me now, I would ask for it. Man can only have what he believes he has. You have to believe to possess. Believing is possessing. The moment your heart believes God for something, with all your heart, and you express it before God, it is done. When Jesus came to the tomb of Lazarus, Jesus never did anything of his own. He prayed to the Father every time. But the Bible says, Jesus gave thanks to God. Father, I thank you for hearing me. I know you always hear me. And that's the secret of Jesus. The moment God has heard me, it is done. He will do something. It may not be to the letter, but he will do something because he has heard me. I know you always hear me, Father. I speak because of these people who listen to me. He faced the tomb and said, Lazarus came forth. That's a demonstration of absolute faith that the Father is going to raise Lazarus from the dead. Jesus has absolute trust in the Father that by obeying the Father, he'll go to the cross. He will die for us. But on the third day, he has absolute conviction that he will rise from the dead. And he said it in Matthew 16, I'm going to Jerusalem. They will kill me. On the third day, I will rise. Jesus expressed an absolute faith in the Father. That the Father who sent him to lay down his life for our salvation will raise him from the dead on the third day. And he said it. Peter said, hey, God forbid, you will not go. You will not go. He said, get behind me, Satan. You don't know. You are talking like a man, not a God. He never doubted. He went straight to God's promise. Abraham, if you look at our life today, you have a beautiful wife. You're married. You are 75 years old. And you don't have any child. Despite all your wealth. At that time, not to have children was terrible for anybody. They want to have legacy. God said to Abraham, I will give you a child, an old man. The wife was old. Have you ever seen a woman of 90 years to give birth? But they believed. Even Sarah, when she smiled, she believed. And God made it happen. Why? Because God spoke. If God has not spoken to Abraham, there will be no reason for the belief. Now, if you believe the one who made the promise is faithful, trust come. So you must know the promise. That's why you need to meditate before you pray. I should engage my heart to meditate the word, reading and meditate. If you don't meditate, how will you know this word you are reading is for you? It's when you are meditating deeply inside your heart that the word will ring. Okay. There's one of my partners. I had one-on-one meeting last week. He's too busy. I told him, do you know that God has spoken to you today? I said, okay, have you prayed today? Have you read your Bible today? No. Can you ask, close your eyes and ask something to God? What do you want God to do for you? You say, I want God to open my heart so the word can enter my heart. To hear God in my heart, I want the word in my heart. I said, that's your prayer? I say, yes. I say, okay, now, on Zoom, face to face, last week, I said to him, pray in your heart to God. First, pray. He prayed. I said, look at me. He looked, Zoom. I said, say, in the name of Jesus, open the Bible. He prayed, he meditated, in the name of Jesus, open the Bible. I said, okay, where do you open the Bible? He said, Jeremiah 31. I said, okay, can you go to verse 31 and read? That's what I ask. God said, I will put my word in your heart and write my law in your spirit. He was shocked. He said, I say, can't you see that God is alive? If you have not asked and you just open the Bible, you will see not true. But because you ask, because you pray for it, and the answer came, when God answered you. If my mind is not renewed by praying to God, when the answer comes, I will not know. But if I pray for something and I'm waiting for them, when the answer comes, I will know. It's as if I'm planting a seed here and I forget it. How will you know? I forget what I ask. But if I know what I ask God, and when the answer comes, I say, yes, I ask for this, this morning. And he was shocked. God hears and answers prayer. Sometimes we think that God is only concerned about spiritual things. God is concerned about our natural need. And after I pray for the family, I ask the child, what do you want God for you? And I pray. The daughter, what do you want? We pray. Wife told me, pray. Husband, you pray. I said, let the family join hands. We pray together. After we finish, I say, hey, God is saying in my heart, I should pray for your pet. What are they? The way I pray for the pet is the way I pray for them. I stretch my hand in the name of Jesus. Lord, in the name of, I pray. And I finish, Jesus' name. Amen. And I closed and I left. The next day, a man sent me a message. He said, thank you, Brother Asin, for praying for us yesterday. And, wow. We have a problem. You pray for our dogs. We have been complaining in this house for many months. Nobody can sleep at the night because of these dogs. And my son will say, how can we do? Papa said, we should just pray. And I never told you this. You pray for the dog. For the first time for more than 4 months, the dog slept through the night. Now I know you are a man of God and God is with you. That's what he said. He never asked me to pray for the dogs. But the dog was a problem. They couldn't sleep at night because of these 3 dogs. But that night, they say the dog sleep peacefully for the first time for a month. And he came to say, now I know truly God is with you. That's what he said to me, because of the dogs. If God can be concerned about little things like that, we are the only meeting God every day. When it comes to God, I'm like a baby. There's nothing I don't believe God for. If God can use animals to feed Elijah, if God can speak to the wind, there's nothing God created that cannot command and control. So this means for me, prayer is a relationship with God. And for prayer to be right, it must be confirmed to the will of God in your life. There must be a promise. You can't ask for something God has not promised you. To pray right, you have to know what the Bible says. You must know His promises for you. You must have an understanding of it. You must believe it. And when you ask, God says He will give you. That's what salvation is all about. Now the key verse, that confirm what I said. Go to Romans chapter 10, verse 14.
How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed?
Thank you. How can I call the name of Jesus Christ for my salvation if I don't believe in Jesus? Mean I must call in faith. Remember, we just read 2 Corinthians 4, 13. I believe, therefore, I ask. How will I call the one they have not believed? I mean, all prayer must be an expression of belief. There is no believing that does not express itself in prayer, in asking before God. You must believe. Now, how can I call the name of Jesus for my salvation if I don't believe?
And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard?
How can you believe if you have never heard the promise? I mean, faith without a promise is zero. You say, we never heard about Holy Spirit. How will you ask for it? How will you believe in something you ignore? Now, continue.
And how shall they hear without a preacher?
How can they hear without the preacher? Can't you see our life today? God will hold us responsible when we keep the truth captive. If God revealed your truth, and that truth is for salvation, don't hold it to yourself, share it with people.
And how shall they preach unless they are sent?
That's the key. That's why prayer is not right if it does not spring from faith. And faith is not right without the promise. There is no promise without the Bible. God can never open the door to salvation to one who keeps his Bible shut. Thank you.